This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. As a forum for conversation and debate and interaction, the internet may at times seem less public square and more like the Roman Forum, where sniping and shaming and mean-spirited insults can devour conversations and proclaim judgments by mob rule. Media outlets have long debated how best to moderate online comments, where some of the worst internet trolling takes place. Last month, Popular Science shut down comments on its website, citing in part a study from the University of Wisconsin measuring the influence negative comments have on other readers. We spoke with Dietram Schäufele, one of the authors of the study, back in March about the phenomenon he calls the nasty effect.
Well, a nasty effect is actually something that's very subtle in many ways. It's not something that relates to us making arguments or giving new information or trying to convince each other that we're right or wrong. But it's actually an effect that's simply based on the tone with which we do that. So the level of politeness or the lack of civility, for that matter, and how that really reshapes what we think we just read and what we've just learned.
Let's dig into that a little and talk about how your study was done. It was based on a fictitious post about a scientific study. Now, why? What was this particular story designed to reveal?
So what this story was all about, it described an aspect of nanotechnology, so this new technology that we invested billions and billions of dollars in as a country, and that has both upsides and downsides, potential risks associated with it, and a lot of course, economic and other benefits. And the study described those in a fairly balanced fashion. It was actually written by a science writer who we paid to write this very neutrally, and we gave them to a national sample of respondents, and everybody saw the exact same story. And that story then was followed by a set of comments. Those comments also, again, highlighted the pluses and the minuses, and the content, the arguments presented in the comments, again, were exactly the same. Everybody saw the same. The only difference was that some groups were exposed to a more civil version of this, and some people were exposed to a less civil or a more impolite version of this. So those folks heard the same arguments, but maybe there was an "you idiot" attack built into it. And that small tweak, just that level of politeness, changed how people then reinterpreted the story that they just read and also looked at the technology in a more negative light.
Huh. You found that it was actually more polarizing. People were more likely to take sides. Why does this occur? Any theories on that?
Well, I think it's in many ways it mirrors what we've seen in this country as far as the general discourse has been going. And I think if we just look back, for example, to the healthcare debate, the issue with the healthcare debate was not that we disagreed on the arguments in favor or against them. That was not the problem. Disagreement, in fact, is a very good thing, as a lot of research shows. But the issue with the healthcare debate was also the fact that we didn't just disagree with certain aspects. We also then proceeded to immediately call Obama, Hitler, or a Nazi, and whatever else. And the same thing, of course, worked on both sides. So I think it's really that tone that pushes us into our respective camps and makes us listen less to the other side or just discount that completely.
Dietram Schäufele there, science and communication professor at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. His study on the nasty effect was published in February of 2013. In September, Popular Science decided to disable reader comments from its website, citing in part the nasty effect study. Jake Ward is editor-in-chief of Popular Science, and he's with us to talk more about that decision and the response so far. Jake, welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you.
We just heard a bit about the study of the nasty effect. What else contributed to your decision to shut down comments from the Popular Science website?
You know, it was really a trio of factors. One was a rising tide of unpleasantness, right? One of the words that people use is trolls, which is people who get their kicks by sort of coming into chat rooms and just, you know, being uncivil in any way they can. Two was a rising sense that incivility can contribute to a misunderstanding of basic science, a skewing of people's perceptions of the issues, and a general sort of disservice to the mission of Popular Science. And then the third factor was just limited resources, because the truth of the matter is, I think you really can run an effective comment system on one's own site. It just takes an incredible number of resources to do it. And we discovered that if we didn't have the proper resources to do it, it would be irresponsible for us to just leave them unchecked.
Well, let's look at those points one at a time. What kinds of comments were you getting in general? Were they anti-science?
When it comes to the sorts of things that we found alarming, it's not so much that people are coming in and speaking their mind forcefully or that they disagree with the premise of the article or any of that stuff. That's the stuff we want. what we were getting was some really nasty stuff. Much of it is you know, pretty unrepeatable, certainly on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, not just the normal stuff, not just the stuff you would imagine, like climate change or evolution, where, you know, you have people with very deep-seated feelings about it. But, you know, stuff about women's bodies, or stuff about contraception or whatever it was. You would get people writing really unspeakable things on a 140-year-old magazine site, you know, that's supposed to be about science.
Popular Science's online editor Suzanne Labar said, "Comments can be bad for science." Now, this statement from her has been well circulated and sort of seized upon as maybe a way of closing the door to conversation about science. How do you look at that? A couple of weeks on, you've had some time to think about it. You've seen some responses.
You know, we really don't have any regrets. I mean, obviously, we're not insensitive to people's concern that we're sort of shutting off conversation. What I'd like to point out is that we're not shutting off conversation. There are a million ways in this day and age to get word back to us, and we're encouraging people to take that conversation to forums that we think are better for it, which include Facebook, Twitter, Google+. You know, there's a million ways to come back to us, and we track those things incredibly closely, and we're treating them as our de facto comments boards. The idea that it can be bad for science is not a question of people are bringing up, you know, opposing points of view, and we don't want, you know, and we're trying to shut those out. That's not the case at all. Like, we had a piece about contraceptive science, and someone wrote a very long pseudoscientific piece in their comment that laid out in very sort of dignified sounding terms a entirely imaginary case that condoms don't prevent venereal disease, and that the size of the particles that transmit the disease are in fact smaller than the openings in the condom. I mean, it was just this sort of this nonsensical thing, but it was very, very scary. And that was under a piece about contraceptive science. And so we had discovered that there's this rising body of study, including Dr. Schäuble's piece. There's a study out of Korea. You can very often conflate what is being said in the comments with what's being said in the article. And so for us to have people writing, you know, some information that can be outright dangerous in a forum that we're not really equipped to manage properly means that, you know, we really run the risk of there being some pretty hazardous information on our own site that we just, you know, can't patrol.
Of course, all of us have seen nasty comments on the internet, and all of us have, you know, been looking at a serious conversation and then learned that, you know, somebody's cousin's brother is making $48 an hour working from home or, you know, whatever gets posted on the internet. But I'm wondering if you think that the scientific community or the nature of science tends to provoke more nastiness for any reason. Are there more vested opinions in the world of science? Any observation there?
Well, I think that our readership is distinctive from others. I can't speak for any other publication, and not even for any other science publication. We're by no means saying that this is the way to go. We're not recommending it to anybody else. Part of the reason for that is that our readership is very, very distinctive. You know, we're not like Scientific American, which I consider to be aimed at equal parts a sort of popular audience and a professional audience. There's a lot of, you know, working scientists that come to that site. Popular Science isn't a community of scientists as much as a community of lay people who are interested in science. Why it is that you know, people might be interested in the inner workings of a nuclear weapon or a car or anything else that we cover and have a very, very clear-eyed view of that, but find themselves very, very upset at the idea that the evidence around climate change, in their view, doesn't add up. I can't explain human nature around that stuff. I don't really know it. All I know is that we need to be putting out the best science journalism with the most reputable sources we can. We're trying to do it right every single day. And so if we can't bring that standard to moderating the comments that go on underneath those stories, then we just figured it was more responsible not to happen at all.
Jake Ward, Editor-in-Chief of Popular Science, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Virginia.
The online version of Popular Science, PopSci.com, disabled reader comments on its site. One of its claims was that comments can be bad for science. We'd like to know what you think. Should commenters and trolls be allowed free rein on the internet? Do you just ignore them, or are they impossible to ignore? We're at Word of Mouth on Twitter, or Word of Mouth Radio on Facebook, or you can let us know at wordofmouthradio.org. Okay, this may sound like spam, but you can make millions selling stamps. An economist is going to walk us through this scheme and really give us a clever lesson in leveraging. That's when Word of Mouth returns after the break.